God tests us today in small things to see, to prepare us for the future. That's always His way. So, and the little things that come your way, don't take them lightly. Don't think that losing your temper is a small thing. It's not a small thing. God will allow you to be provoked, to be irritated by others. And that's just a little thing to overcome. God will allow you to lose a promotion, and if you can rejoice in that, or lose a job, it's okay, fine. If I'm a Christian and because I stand as a Christian, I lose my job, or I lose my popularity with my colleagues, or lose an increment, or lose popularity with my relatives. That can be sometimes a terrific test. Many believers I have found, they don't want to lose popularity with their relatives for the Lord's sake. They want to make sure they keep their relatives happy, keep their religious leaders happy. Well, we're going to get a big surprise when Christ comes again. You know, these are little things along the way where Jesus tests us to see whether He means more to us than all these people. So that's the way we pray and seek for strength to escape the things that are take place, and finally to stand before the Son of Man. So turning to Hebrews 11 now. What did Noah do? When he was building the ark, it says here, by faith, Noah, verse 7, being warned by God about things that had not yet been seen. That means he had not yet seen all those things. Jesus has also warned us through some of these scriptures that I read about things that are going to happen. Noah was warned about things that are going to happen. The Lord told Noah, this whole world is going to be destroyed. And only those who get inside this ship, which you build, will be saved. That was his message. The whole world will be destroyed, and those who get inside this ship that you build will be saved. So concentrate on building the ship quickly. And it says here, when he got this warning, he was reverent. In reverence. That means he had a tremendous respect for God, what God had said. And with that reverence, he took God's word seriously, and he built this ark, and he saved his family. And not only saved his family, every nail he put into that ark, he was condemning the world. That's what it says here. He condemned the world. How do you condemn the world? It says in the Message Bible, his act of faith drew a sharp line between the evil of the unbelieving world and the rightness of the believing world. Have you seen these roads where the dividing line has sort of been rubbed out through the years? That clear yellow line down the middle of the road where you're not supposed to cross. Traffic that way, traffic this way. Through the years it gets erased. And then the police come and paint it again. I've often thought of that as a picture of the Christian church. The Christian church going this way, the world coming the other way. Going in two opposite directions, and this line, this clear line that Jesus drew between the church and the world being erased. And the traffic, now you don't know who's going where. That's what the devil is aiming at. To erase the line between Christ and between the church and the world. And Noah drew a sharp line. He condemned the world and he says, this is it, this is the line. You're going another way, I'm going another way. I want to ask you, right from the time you're in school, is there a sharp line between you and the children, other children whose values are not the values of the Bible or of Christ? You parents, do you encourage your children to have this yellow line very clear in the things they talk about, the way they dress, and everything else, their whole behavior and conduct? And then in college, is there a clear line between you and the other students? The type of music you listen to and the type of music they listen to. The type of movies they want to watch and the type of things you're interested in spending your time with. Or do you seek popularity? But when they speak about worldly things, you also say, well, I've got to be accepted in this society. And you can have a, you can, you know, justify yourself with it. Well, I've got to be friends with these people to win them. But after many years, they're winning you to the world. You're not winning them at all. You haven't even won one of them. But they have won you to their way of thinking. And Satan has won a victory. It's happening to our young people. That sharp line that Noah drew is gone. Noah condemned the world and he got his children together. And they were grown-up children. They were not little babies. They were grown-up. They were married. But he said, I'm your dad. Whether you're married or not, I have a responsibility for you. I don't want you to be lost. I don't want to take that attitude which says, oh, well, now they're married and my responsibility is over. I'm before God. They would have gone to hell if he had taken that attitude. My responsibility for my children is not over just when they get married. Noah certainly teaches me that. God didn't give a revelation to Noah's children. He gave it to Noah. And he had to explain it to his wife. Convince his wife, first of all. And I don't know how much time he took convincing his children, but he was determined to convince his children. This world is going to perish. Don't live for it. Don't live for it. It's going to perish. Yeah, you need to eat food and earn your living and all that, but remember that you don't belong here. Draw a clear line between you and the people who think this world is going to last forever. There should be a clear line. And you know, the result was Noah had only three sons. All three of them got saved. And all their wives got saved. So he made sure that those three children married God-fearing women. He was a pretty strict father, I think, you know, to control children that were 200-300 years old. He must have been a really strict father. Say, fellas, you've got to come and help me build the ark now. And I tell you, when they came out of the ark, they were thankful for their father. And your children will be thankful for you in the day Jesus comes, if you keep on exhorting them. Your life must demonstrate that you don't live for this world. Then only you'll have the moral authority to tell your children that. Otherwise, you know, like Lot one day got up and told his sons-in-law, we read in Genesis 19, hey, fellas, God's going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah, let's escape. They laughed at him. The Bible says they laughed at him. They mocked him. You fellow, you left Abraham and came here to make money and now you're trying to preach to us. Don't talk so much. We know what you lived for all these years you were in Sodom. You came here to make money, not to be a witness for God. Don't try and talk to us. Your sons-in-law, your children will say that to you. Dad and mom, you lived to make money. You had a little bit of religion and whitewash. We never saw that you were wholehearted for God. You had a little religion. It's good, decent to have a little bit of religion. Are you like that? Or can you see, can your children testify that though you earn money to take care of your earthly needs and their needs, that was not primary in your life. God was first. That's what people saw in Noah. They'd see him get up early in the morning and pray. And they'd see him get up much earlier nowadays because he had gone chop down wood. Hire people with his own money to chop down wood to make a ship. They said, Dad really believes it. He's not just preaching. I mean, if he were just preaching there, that'd be one thing. But he really believes it. He gets up 2 hours earlier and goes and chops wood. And he's spending all the money he has earned to hire people to build a ship. He really believes it. And it says, it was this act of building the ark that by which he condemned the world. That's what it says here. He prepared an ark by which he condemned the world. In other words, how did he draw this line between him and the world? It wasn't just by preaching. It was by his whole being taken up with what he knew would last after the world was destroyed. I want to ask you, it doesn't mean Noah didn't eat. He ate, he drank, he slept. And for 120 years, I'm sure he had to buy new clothes and how do you live in the world for 120 years? You need food, you need clothing, maybe the house leaks, he needs repairs. He'd take care of all that. Everything necessary for his earthly life, he had to feed his family, earn his living, take care of the vineyards, take care of the fields so that they can earn money to take care. He was a good father, good head of the home. But in all this, underlying they saw, this is not what this man's living for. This is just means of earning a living. This man's got a goal. I find him going out there and building the ark, hiring people, spending money, building the ark. I tell you, when people see that, that's what will convince them that you mean what you say. Otherwise, you know, Christianity can be just another religion, another philosophy. Oh, you believe that? Oh, you believe it like that, is it? Well, I believe it like this. Let's discuss this and discussion and all that, but it doesn't change either person's way of life. That fellow believes in one God, and this fellow believes in another God, and this fellow believes in a third God, but they all live for the same things. They all live to make money, to get the honor of the world, to get on in the world, but they have different religions. Noah was not like that in the midst of all the religions. He says, I'm different. I don't just say I believe in this God. Here's my proof. What do I spend my time for? Building the ark. Where do I spend most of my money? Building the ark. When people see that, there's a clear line drawn between you and the world. Otherwise, if we say the only place where I draw the line is Sunday morning when I go and praise the Lord for some time and raise my voice and sing some songs, and the rest of the time my values are exactly the same as the values of people in the world, I have not condemned the world, no. My values are the same Monday through Saturday. On Sunday, that guy goes to the temple, the other guy goes to the mosque, the other guy watches television, and I go to church. Each worships their own God, but it's only for a few hours on Sunday. And the rest of the 6 days of the week, we have the same values. We have not drawn any line between us and the world.